News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Yo, from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. What's going on? 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Monday morning, chance of rain, showers, thunderstorms again today. Just kind of soupy out there. We'll get to, I guess, mid to upper 80s for that high temperature.
Yeah, and a big rain moved through Mobile yesterday, that's for sure. We're well on our way to passing September's average amount of rainfall as we had a, we ended up with a fairly dry August, but some months this summer we didn't get any rain, and others we ended up with a ton of rain. So it all washes out in the end, I guess. Congratulations for our Run Your Pool, the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge this weekend. Big Baller had the best week of anyone, went 9-1 against the spread. We're all still trying to chase down Sergeant Clyde Frog, though, who is 21-9 so far. So in the pole position as far as winning that great prize from Spring Hill Ace Hardware at the end of the year with the Blackstone portable griddle that you can take tailgating or camping, and that stainless steel tool set that comes with it, plus the Yeti 48 rolling cooler, and then the Yeti Camino 35. But it's kind of tightening up here, and our very own Junkyard, aka Dan Brennan, sitting in eighth place, tied with a bunch of other people. You're 19-11 so far this year.
So the leader's 21-9. I'm two games back.
That's right.
Yeah, things could swing, end up off the rails real quick.
And my girls picked better than me again this week. So the only thing holding them back is that 2-8 week two that they had a couple weeks ago.
You can have a week like that. I mean, when you're picking and the spread's involved, it's really tough.
It is, yeah. And that's what's going to make it competitive all the way through. So thanks, everyone who's playing with us. We'll keep this going this year. And thank you to Spring Hill Ace Hardware for that awesome grand prize. How surprised were you? And you can answer on the text line, 251-343-0106. How surprised were you when you got that notification or turned on the TV or your computer yesterday and saw, second assassination attempt made on former President Donald Trump's life? I think the sad thing is I wasn't surprised at all. A lot less, I don't know if fanfare would be the right word for it yesterday, a lot less worldwide
coverage
because it didn't happen on a televised stage. This time he was out there golfing at his golf course.
Yeah.
We already know so much more, I guess. We know what we think we know about this latest suspect because, one, He's still alive.
He's alive. They caught him.
And two, he had a heck of a social media presence. Not only that, he's been interviewed by the New York Times previously. So he has kind of a bit of a presence, or has over the last few years. But kind of sad that I wasn't really surprised that we had another attempt on Trump's life yesterday.
Yeah. Let me see. Let me think. I was, you know, I watch little live TV these days, but I think I was watching, might have been halftime of the second game that was on CBS and Channel 5 yesterday.
Chiefs-Bengals.
And
no cut-ins, really, right?
There was a cut-in.
Okay.
There was a cut-in, but it was, I think it was just, if I remember correctly, it was just a voiceover. Like, join CBS, CBS News will have more
right
on this
after the game.
Following the game. So it was kind of breaking news. There might have been an on-air presence, you know, with a picture, but I don't remember that. I remember the voice, and maybe it just said breaking news.
Yeah.
They gave this much of a story, less than 30 seconds, really. And then I was like, wow, you're right. It's just like, wow, happened again, wow.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And then I was trying to find coverage from that point on, and I don't have CNN, so that's one of the things I don't have with my Fubo TV. So I don't have CNN, so I went to Fox News, and of course they were all over it.
Yeah, and this suspect, 58-year-old Ryan Routh, and I guess he had they say AK style. I guess he had an AK out there, and Secret Service was actually on it this time. There's going to be folks saying not on it enough if he was, 500 yards or closer from Trump at the time. But they end up arresting him after Secret Service, I guess, popped off some shots in his direction. He just leaves everything, including the GoPro that he brought with him there on that fence line, hops into his vehicle, drives off. Someone had the presence of mind to take a picture of his vehicle as he was leaving, and I believe they used license plate scanners and eventually caught him on I-95. Still alive, so they'll be able to get information that way, but already a lot of information out on this suspect. Wall Street Journal writes, Ryan Routh, man arrested in connection with the attempted assassination, has a lengthy police record in North Carolina, built inexpensive houses in Hawaii, and has a fixation with the war in Ukraine. He was detained by police in Florida yesterday. By the way, DeSantis, the governor of Florida, after the urging of Eric Prince and others, says that the state will investigate this. They won't just leave it up to the FBI and Secret Service to investigate themselves, but the state of Florida will look into how the attempted assassin got so close. But before his arrest, Wall Street Journal writes, Routh had been seeking to recruit volunteers to fight in Ukraine, posting on social media about his willingness to fight Russia's invasion, and even traveled to Kiev 2 years ago. Said he'd lived through years of apparent turmoil, brushes with the law, and failed attempts to link himself to some larger purpose. That's according to public records, social media posts, and interviews with people who know him. On Routh's LinkedIn profile, he wrote, I would tremendously enjoy the invitation to join any monumental, worthy cause to bring about real change in our world. I am certainly free to relocate to any remote location on the planet that might render the most positive impact. And then when Russia executed that invasion on Ukraine back in 2022, they say Routh appeared to find his cause, finally. On the day of the invasion, he put out a series of tweets soliciting media coverage for his effort to encourage non-Ukrainians to travel to the country to take up arms, saying that he himself was ready to fight and die on behalf of Kiev. Quote, we need to burn the Kremlin to the ground and put an end to Putin and Russia. Routh actually arrived in Kiev in April of 2022, so not long after the invasion began, said the city was largely deserted, and Routh sought connections with other Westerners who had come to lend a hand. He stood out, often wearing an American flag T-shirt or bandana, according to people who knew him in Ukraine.
Weird.
That April, he tweeted at the official account of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, saying that he was in Kiev and planned to erect a tent city in the capital to attract foreign fighters. Quote, we can raise great support and equipment. Routh tweeted a photo of himself in Kiev's Independent Square in front of a banner soliciting foreign volunteers and fighters. He said, this conflict is definitely black and white. This is about good versus evil. That was in a Romanian version of Newsweek where he was published saying that. Routh did not serve in the U.S. military, he told that Romanian version of Newsweek. In Ukraine, he was rejected from military service, according to two people who knew him there.
I wonder what that process was all about. Yeah. Why? Was he rejected?
I wonder if he was just kind of an annoying gnat, you know, buzzing around him over there.
Yeah,
said Routh subsequently put his efforts into recruiting people to join Ukraine's International Legion. Chris Lutz, a German humanitarian volunteer who knew Routh in Ukraine, quote, that was his main task that he assigned to himself. He wasn't officially assigned by the armed forces of Ukraine. It was just kind of his personal mission to do so. On Routh's website, I don't know, I guess he has his own website he was posting to. He wrote that losing this war isn't an option and implored citizens around the world to, quote, join this fight. But in his discussions in Ukraine, Routh lacked clarity of thought and had trouble holding an audience. They said he would leap from one topic to another. If you want to fight, come here and see me, and I'll put you in a unit so you can go fight, he said. Lutz said Ryan was more of a recruitment cheerleader. He became sort of a mascot.
Yeah, a mascot during a war. Good going, buddy. Way to get your nails dirty. On the text line, by the way, because this is Chris in Orange Beach, because I don't do social media. I was, however, watching football on Fox and CBS along with 60 Minutes last night. Did not hear about the Trump thing until this morning. Amazing.
Wow.
So that's in terms of the coverage of it. Mike Waltz, that's the congressman that used to be
Florida congressman. Yeah.
He was talking about the, you know, some of the things that are bringing this on. And we've heard this before from those on the Republican side saying, man, he just gets butchered by those running against him and those on the left, commentators and such, talking about it's the end of democracy and he would, you know, just hanging January 6th around his neck. Here's Waltz.
This rhetoric against President Trump, this narrative that he will be the next dictator, that he is the next Hitler coming, it has got to stop. Enough is enough.
This would-be assassin talks like a would-be tyrant. That is king of all unnamed texters. You're giving the kind of the blow-by-blow on what this guy's been up to and what he's been all about here. And he's not coming off as a really button-down dude.
Doesn't come off stable at all, right? And as far as his past political affiliations, kind of all over the map, according to these reports. They say he voted for Trump in 2016, voted for Biden in 2020. I know James sent a screenshot of a tweet earlier where this suspect was encouraging Vivek Ramaswamy to team up with Nikki Haley to become the campaign in the Republican Party. Of course, Nikki Haley, pro-Ukraine. Continuing to send money and keep this war in Ukraine going on. Yeah. We know that Trump has talked plenty about ending the war and ending what he's calling the unnecessary loss of life. So you can see how if this guy was so pro-Ukraine and anti-Putin and a lot of the rhetoric that's, like you just said and like Waltz has said, has been directed at Trump for the way he feels about that war, you could see where that connection would be, right?
But again, you were plotting and trying to assassinate the man you actually voted for in 2016. That's crazy. He voted for Trump in 2016.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly. And now it's this, I guess Ukraine is the biggest point of contention, I guess, at this point. It's interesting, too, that when Trump talks about Ukraine, he talks about it very humanly, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just a policy. He talks about the tragic loss of life on both sides.
Yeah.
And it's Trump isn't often like that. Trump is not, you know, that's not the way he usually frames things, the way that we think he thinks. But when he talks about that war, he talks like a big shot is going to end it, but he may have the levers to do that. And also he does talk about the loss of life, especially young life, young men in these battles that are not, they're just massacring each other.
Yeah, and that was another ridiculous part of that debate the other night on ABC when... it's like these commentators, they either don't want to see, it's all so black and white to them, right? Do you want Ukraine to win the war? Well, no one is winning this war, newsflash. Mm-hmm. Like Dan said, hundreds of thousands of men on both sides have been maimed and killed.
Yep.
And Trump's
like the only one pointing that out, but go ahead.
He and Vivek did, I think, and a couple others. But he's the only one saying this has to come to an end.
Right.
And, well... So you're saying you don't want Ukraine to win the war? No, I'm saying we need to bring an end to this war, is what Trump is saying.
Yeah.
And also you kind of get the – seems like this guy was trying to make a name for himself in some form or fashion, whether it was traveling all the way over to Ukraine and pushing to – he was trying to say he could get former Taliban fighters in to fight on behalf of Ukraine and that he would kind of lead that charge. He has a long list
delusionary.
Said a long list of traffic misdemeanors while in North Carolina, pled guilty to larceny in late 90s in North Carolina. In 2002, Routh was convicted of possessing a weapon of mass destruction. A story in Greensboro's North Carolina News and Record said Routh was apprehended with an automatic machine gun after a standoff with police, later relocated from North Carolina to Hawaii, where he built one-room shelters for as little as $4,500, and then the war in Ukraine took him overseas. After returning to the U.S., he conceded in an interview outside the U.S. Capitol that his Ukrainian contacts concerned about espionage were not interested in Afghan volunteers. Still looking for a cause, they said Routh shifted his focus to Taiwan, claiming last year he could supply thousands of, quote, economical NATO-trained Afghan soldiers to help defend Taiwan. So that's what we know to this point about this suspect. And
how does he fund himself in his fantasy land war game life? He must have some money on him. He built homes in Hawaii, correct?
Yeah, and kind of just, they said in Ukraine he became broke, and so that was part of the reason why he ended up back in America. So I don't know if he had any, I don't know what his cash situation was looking like, but imagine if he'd, you know, gotten another shot off, or I guess they still haven't completely confirmed whether he was able to
fire off any rounds or not. Right, they haven't confirmed that. And then leaving everything behind, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there'd be fingerprints all over the place and all that stuff.
Well, if you had, bullets whizzing by your head from Secret Service taking shots into the brush or wherever he was right there, you'd probably leave pretty quickly, too, which is what this guy did. So we've got a ton of texts we can get to, 251-343-0106, if you want to join the show. You can also use that same number to hop on our phone line if you'd rather talk in person. And a lot of conversation about this latest assassination attempt we'll get into after the break.
821, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, good to have you along as always. Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 825. Mobile Mornings. Text line 251-343-0106. As Dalton said, also the same line you want to call if you want to be part of the show here this morning on a day after yet another assassination attempt on the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, this time by a guy down in Florida and a guy that's been around the world a few times. Chasing whatever dreams and political ambitions he has. I don't know. The guy sounds like he's off his rocker. He just got enough money to fund all these cockamamie things.
Yeah. And,
or he did.
Looking at the text line, James making light of it a little bit. Thoughts and prayers, like old JD says, just a fact of life. Seems like Trump needs to follow his VP's take on shootings. That was a JD Vance quote taken out of context. And also James sharing New York, political cartoons from the New Yorker. Now, people who share political cartoons from the New Yorker think they're way smarter than everybody else, by the way. This humorous political from the New Yorker. Jeff.
Does James ever call?
Yes, James has called several times. Yeah,
right. James.
And he also says, so you just said the war in Ukraine can't be won. I'm curious as to why that same attitude isn't being used for Israel. That's also a war that cannot be won by either side. Jeff from Fairhope says, if the Secret Service can't provide enough manpower to protect the former president, I'm sure that the SEAL teams and Delta Force could get plenty of volunteers. Large areas like the golf courses could be patrolled by Belgian Malinois. I think that might be enough to make me miss a putt if you had one of those bad A dogs kind of standing off the fringe. That might be enough to make me miss a putt or two.
Yeah.
But I would like to see him.
It doesn't take a mean dog to make me miss a putt.
I need some of those. I need to take my mean dog up there for when they're playing slow in front of me and just let him loose on the group ahead of me. Hey, move it along. I'm trying to get this done in under 4 hours here.
Take your blind 11-year-old dog. And
just... He's 13 now, man.
Oh, wow.
He's getting on up there. Yeah, Murphy. This texter listened to your Ralph bio. I would bet money this guy is an intel agency asset or was at one time a vet. Now, the Wall Street Journal story says, well, according to him, he was never a veteran of U.S. Armed Services, and Ukraine wouldn't allow them to help in their war foray there. So it sounds like kind of nobody wanted him, and he was just trying to – it's almost like he wanted to become – have you ever seen that Nicolas Cage movie, The Lord of War, where he was moving massive amounts of ammunition and weaponry into Africa and the Middle East? It's almost like this guy wanted to become like a Lord of War.
Yeah, he wanted to play a big role, and to be quoted in the Romanian Newsweek or something like that, right?
He made it big.
He would act like a big shot, and people that didn't know any better, I guess, would buy into the idea that he was somebody when he actually wasn't much of anything.
And again, this is just what has been uncovered since this happened yesterday.
Yeah.
So this story could go a number of different ways. Maximus said he's one of those look at what I did participation trophy losers. Jason posting looks like the political contributions from this guy. He's mostly contributed to Democrats from what I've found so far. Jason says the CNNs and MSNBC types whip these loons into a frenzy, calling Trump a Nazi, a racist, and a threat to democracy every day for years. And then when something happens, they all play dumb and show false outrage, asking how did we get here? They are fully to blame for both attempts on President Trump's life. This texter, same as you, not surprised. Only thing surprising is it took this long. I'm worried. Mark in Westmobile says, I wasn't surprised at all. That was the question we opened this hour with. Were you surprised to see there was another attempt on Trump's life yesterday? Mark says, I wasn't surprised at all. I'm also not surprised that the left will refuse to give it the coverage it deserves. Will says, peace and inclusion, showing their true colors. A couple talks about the pick 'em pool here. Damn Yankee says, what are the odds that the latest Trump shooter will end up dead in jail? Not sure. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
All right, you don't have to wait long for this. What does Kamala Harris do when she's asked this straightforward question? We'll let you know what that will in her own words. That's on the way. It's 8:30 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Coming back to the text line here in a moment, 251-343-0106. Right now, we head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine. A rainy weekend for some of us and a rainy first half of the week on the way, but things will get much nicer the second half of the week. And you've got a body shop that'll take care of dings and dents that may come from riding around in the rain, but you also have a lot of new and pre-owned vehicles out there for sure.
That's right. We got a bunch of them out here. We got to get rid of a few of them, too. So, McConnellAutomotive.com. Check the website out, and you can see all these good-looking cars and trucks out there. And got a few good-looking SUVs as well. And got the GM certified. Don't forget to check those out. And like you said, if you have that unfortunate accident, don't forget body shop, 251-476-4141, McConnell Collision Center. They'll take care of all your insurance needs and get that car looking just perfect.
They so, sure will. Yeah, and you guys, you make it easy on the customer, whatever they come in for, and there's a lot for customers to come in and do and take care of at McConnell. So we appreciate your time this morning, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
All right, Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All righty. The text line, I hate to read them cold because I never know exactly what was...
That makes it fun.
Maybe fun for you. Doesn't Have Meta says, here is my prediction for what it's worth. There will be an attempt on Kamala coming soon. So far, she is copying the Trump playbook. It will take the spotlight off Trump probably early to mid-October. Well, I hate to, you know, I hate to say anybody's going to have their life threatened by an assassin. So I don't know how Doesn't Have Meta. I'm not sure how that's part of a playbook. If you think it's going to be a fake attempt on her or something to garner her some sympathy, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of unstable people out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of unstable people out there. And I don't know. I guess... You know, and I know James was making light of it earlier, that it's become a way of life, but it kind of, you know, for Trump, you just have to be prepared and almost expect that this is going to keep happening, these attempts on his life. There's still, what, 49 days to go before the election?
Before an election he may win.
Secret Service has their work cut out for them.
They do.
And I know, I think it was the sheriff in that county down in Florida where this happened, who said just the different levels of security, and I think most people know this, when you're president, it's one thing. When you're no longer president, it's another. And he was saying, hey, if you know, if he was getting the protection of a president, that they would have had the entire golf course surrounded, and that this guy wouldn't have made it as close as he did. But because of the levels of protection Trump does get, which I'm hoping have been beefed up since July, that they were able to get him where he was, say about 500 yards from where Trump was playing right there. So
right.
Walt says, as far as Francine making landfall last week in Louisiana and then working its way up north, he said, hey, guys, it's Walt in Summerdale. I will not be making a trip to Louisiana this weekend. We talked about this some last week. He said they're almost 100% back on power. And the sheriff asked people not to bring stuff over there because they're overly inundated with supplies. That's
wow.
A good problem to have. Too many people taking things over to the areas hit by the storm. Walt does that every single time there's a major storm or hurricane along the Gulf Coast or somewhere he can get to. So good on you, Walt, but good to hear that they don't need more supplies coming from anywhere else.
Yeah. Do you want to go to the line here?
Yeah. Let's see here. Who do we have on the line? Don't have it pulled up right in front of me. Why don't we just go with it?
Like reading the text is going to the excitement of the moment.
Who do we have on line one?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. This is James, the official troll. How are you guys doing this morning?
James, doing fine, well. James. What you got going on?
Hey, look, guys, I just want to come off and say right away that this attempt on Trump shows realistically where we are as a country. We have some serious mental health issues in this country. I'm not making light of, you know, the assassination attempt. I think it's absolutely horrible. But I think America needs to just take a step back and realize, right? And the Dems are absolutely wrong for the rhetoric that they've done. But if your listeners are going to sit there and act like the Republicans have not had their own version of violent rhetoric in this country that has perpetuated what we're seeing here, not only in the streets, in Mobile County, look how bad it is. And then we've got shootings in schools, right? And I'll be the first one to say I don't think that we need to have gun control, but we have a mental health issue in this country. And you can look at Alabama as a prime example. We have no mental health facilities here. So what do they do with the mentally ill? They lock them in Metro. And then what do we have a guy, another inmate that gets killed, right? So to me, it's a sad state. And I think it shouldn't be a shock or surprise to anyone that someone took a shot at Trump. And I don't think it should be a shock or surprise to anyone would take a shot at Kamala, because on both sides, they're being fed rhetoric that's violent, that's hateful, and it's just frankly un-American.
Yeah,
you know, and I'll leave it to you.
You make a good point. And James, you know, that your thoughts about the mental illness is so right on. My goodness. And you talk about dropping the ball. I guess it was the Lovegrove. He was the one that shut down all the facilities.
Well, you know, it's been a national thing since
it has,
Jimmy Carter and
but
Reagan.
Even locally, and you look at the homeless and you look at a lot of distressed people who are right in front of us right now. They're right in our face. And you're so right, James. The mental health of citizens of this country, that whole thing has really been let down by the people in power. Appreciate the call, man.
Thank you, gentlemen. You guys have a great day.
You too.
All right. Yeah, and you know, he's right. There's rhetoric on both sides. I will ask, how many Republicans have tried to kill Kamala Harris in the last 4 months? I think the number is zero, right? How many people have tried to kill Trump in the last few months?
Yeah.
That number is two.
Yeah.
So there is that, but you're right. The rhetoric on both sides has been ratcheted up over time. But also, you know, you can be critical, especially if you're talking about national candidates or anyone running for office. You can be critical of how they act and the things they say, and you should expect fellow Americans to also have the ability to be critical without completely going off the deep end, right? And so there's people out there who probably don't want to see their politician criticized and will be quick to say, well, that's hateful rhetoric, when you're saying, no, actually, this is just somebody saying that, you know, Kamala sucks for this reason or Trump sucks for this reason.
Mm-hmm.
But there doesn't seem to be much accountability from the national media when they really ratchet things up and then people act based off of that. So,
and also, there was accountability in a strange way over the weekend. LA Times story. I'm looking for it.
I've got it right here. Are you talking about the moderator?
Yes. The moderator admitting in an interview, one of the moderators from the debate the other night, and right away, a lot of reaction from the right was, man, that was a rigged show, man. They fact checked Trump left and right and did not fact check
Harris.
And so there was emotion there. There were also some facts that seemed to lay out that seemed to be the case. And then now we no longer need any more facts than just the interview of the other day.
Yeah. So this was an interview with the Los Angeles Times and Lindsay Davis, who and she was a member of the same sorority as Kamala Harris. And maybe I'm wrong on this, I don't think they went to Howard together. I think they went to different universities. So people are saying
she's
actually a sorority sister of Kamala Harris's. I think she was in the same sorority at a different school.
Yeah.
But there is that connection. But I don't think they were roommates or anything like that.
I don't think they're close in age.
So LA Times, in a glowing interview, Davis said she wanted to address concerns that Trump's statements could be allowed to, quote, hang there unchallenged by his opponent or the moderators, as they were during the Trump-Biden debate in June. Here's from the LA Times profile. Quote, Davis, wearing pink glasses while speaking to the Times over breakfast at the Ritz-Carlton in Philadelphia. If I had a nickel for every breakfast I had at the Ritz, I would have zero nickels. said the decision to attempt to correct the candidates was in response to the June 27th CNN debate between Trump and Biden, whose poor performance led to his exit from the race. Davis told the outlet, quote, people were concerned that statements were allowed to just hang and not be disputed by the candidate Biden at the time or the moderators. The LA Times gushed over Davis in the profile, calling her a rising star who held Trump's feet to the fire. You know, by the way, I think David Muir knows she's a rising star, too, and that's why he didn't really let her get in a word in edgewise during the debate. What, she asked two questions through that whole thing?
He wanted it to be his moment in time, for sure.
Said in one viral moment, Davis sternly told Trump that there's, quote, no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born. Trump was invoking audio that we've played on this show a couple times when former Virginia Governor Ralph Northam was saying that exact thing in 2019. While liberals celebrated the moment, one pro-life group demanded a correction from ABC News, saying Davis's comments were 100% inaccurate. But that was her reasoning, she said, for stepping in and quote-unquote fact-checking Trump. She didn't want to allow Trump's statements to just hang there unchallenged.
Then Harris has done another interview, this one at a local level in Philadelphia at the local ABC affiliate there. I think they feel comfortable with ABC. In this interview, she's talking to one of the anchors there, and he lays a very, very, you know, welcoming sort of presence about, we're so glad to have you here. And he asks a question very carefully about to Harris, and then listen for the answer. Now, the question is simple and straightforward enough. The answer, you can be the judge. It's about, this whole thing's about 2 minutes long.
At the debate the other night, you talked about creating an opportunity economy. I wonder if we can drill down on that a little bit. When we talk about bringing down prices and making life more affordable for people, what are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
Well, I'll start with this. I grew up a middle-class kid. My mother raised my sister and me. She worked very hard. She was able to finally save up enough money to buy our first house when I was a teenager. I grew up in a community of hardworking people, you know, construction workers and nurses and teachers. And I try to explain to some people who may not have had the same experience, you know, but a lot of people will relate to this. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood of folks who were very proud of their lawn, you know, and I was raised to believe and to know that all people deserve dignity. And that we as Americans have a beautiful character. You know, we have ambitions and aspirations and dreams, but not everyone necessarily has access to the resources that can help them fuel those dreams and ambitions. So when I talk about building an opportunity economy, it is very much with the mind of investing in the ambitions and aspirations.
All right, that's enough. All right, so we waited a minute 30.
I don't even remember what the question was.
No kidding. And it's almost like that's the game. Like, just talk. She grew up in a place where people worked hard. She's kind of doing she's kissing America's butt there. You know, America's got this great character about her, whatever it is. She grew up in a neighborhood, everybody worked very hard, regular people. So she's trying to basically let everybody know clearly she's one of us. Mm-hmm. She loves America. She grew up, and now she wants to have the economy of, well, I forget what the phrase was again. She eventually got back to this kind of semblance of some sort of an answer, but it really, that's why I just cut it off, because she wanted to make sure that you knew that in her middle class neighborhood, people, it was like the village people. You had an Indian and a construction worker, and, you know, they represented everybody. And their lawn, they had pride in their lawns.
Yes. Well, and I think he asked five questions during that interview, and pretty much every answer was similar, right? Deflect and then run out the time.
Right.
Until that question was over, and he'd ask the next question.
And that was the first question. And which reminds me, I forget what the first question during the debate was. She never answered.
It was about the economy, just like that, where she started talking about her middle-class childhood.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the people in these battleground states like Pennsylvania, Nevada, Michigan, Georgia, the people whose votes are still in the air, up in the air, they're looking for actual answers from both sides. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that could be what swings the debate, right? Are those people? I mean, swings the election.
It is. And when you're campaigning right now, they're campaigning and they're messaging to such a tiny portion of the nation, almost zip codes in these states. Mm-hmm. If you get those people to come your way. So it's almost like if you want to vote for an idea, or if you want to vote to feel good about yourself or feel good that the country's going to, you know, and Kamala says she wants to change the country. Well, she's been part of an administration for 3.5 years.
Right.
So she had opportunity. She changed the border, it seems, by being the border czar. Otherwise, we don't have a lot of information or any evidence that she's done much.
Right, yeah, and that's what pretty much exactly what Trump said during the debate as his closing statement. Run through the text line real quick. Sure. Texter here says, Bentley emptied out Cersei straight onto the street.
Right.
We're talking about mental illness issues earlier.
Yes.
Maximus says, does this mean that Republicans can have mostly peaceful riots now? Texter here, mental health is an issue. Our government shut down Cersei and all the hospitals for these people, and they just turned them out loose on the street. It's an issue that needs to be addressed. It's almost like it's, and this is me talking, not the texter, it's such an in-your-face issue and such for the country. You would think if you're a policymaker, kind of an embarrassing issue. A lot of these people need help. The people they're bothering need help. You're talking about American citizens here. You're talking about veterans in a lot of ways, that it's so embarrassing. This is such a problem that it just goes untouched.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
a political winner.
Similar to the fentanyl thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How that went completely. Fentanyl was not mentioned one time in the debate last week. And if you took care of the fentanyl issue and the mental health issue in this country.
Yeah.
No, those are two big mountains to climb, but how many of our problems would that take care of immediately, pretty much?
Well, you're exactly right. This mental health thing has been going on here for, I don't know when they shut down all these institutions, but it has been done, I guess, nationwide. I remember here in Alabama when it was done under Bentley, but it's just a shame. I've given time to some of these places, talking with young kids who are in these facilities, and it's absolutely heartbreaking. But what to be done? I don't know. But turning everybody loose on the streets, that wasn't the winner idea back in 2012 or so when it happened.
Yeah. 8:51 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. We'll roll on right after the break. 251-343-0106. If you want to jump on the line.
Dalton, thanks for the back and forth on the text line this morning, 251-343-0106. Jeff Poore on the way.
He will have, for his guests this show, State Representative Jennifer Fiddler in hour number one. Hour number two, Dale Jackson joins Jeff from WVNN. I think we'll have to wait and see what Jeff says. He's spent a lot of time with Dale over the last few days, so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for Jeff's mental health, but we'll find out here in just about 10 minutes how he's hanging after being with Dale so much this last week. And then Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth joining him in hour number three.
Okay.
So that's all on the way on the Jeff Poore Show.
Will Ainsworth is going to say, thanks for having me on, Jeff. I want to be governor. And at some point, he's just going to have to say it, right?
Yeah, at some point, right? But that might end up being, it'll be interesting seeing the names that kind of jump in there, right?
Hear about the Attorney General.
Will Marshall jump in?
Yeah.
Because, you know, up until this point, it seems like a lot of people think Ainsworth more or less would have it in the bag, and that he's been kind of running this campaign for some time now. But one name can kind of change the whole thing, right?
You're right.
As we head towards this next gubernatorial election.
You are very right.
And I'm just hoping that Ivy jumps back in. That's what I'm wanting to see. Another term. That'd be fun. U.S. State Department rejecting claims of CIA involvement in an alleged plot to kill Venezuela's leader Nicolas Maduro. Venezuelan authorities said they arrested six foreigners, including a Navy SEAL, they say here. The State Department called the allegations categorically false and added in a statement that the U.S., quote, continues to support a democratic solution to the political crisis in Venezuela. Venezuela says it arrested the six men here for an alleged plot to, quote, destabilize the country. Of course, they've been in a crisis since those elections earlier this year, which everyone's saying Maduro did not win. And he's saying, I did win. And the candidate that ran against him has now fled to Spain. Interior Minister Diosdado Cabello claimed that the alleged plot was led by the CIA and aimed at assassinating Maduro. The accusation comes as Venezuela's opposition. Multiple Latin American leaders in the U.S. refused to recognize Maduro's disputed election win. That, of course, has been followed by deadly protests. Thousands have been arrested. I think a couple dozen killed. In a news conference Saturday, Cabello identified The Navy SEAL is Wilbert Castaneda, and claimed he was the leader of the operation. The minister also named two other detained Americans, David Estrella and Aaron Logan. CNN earlier this month reported that Castaneda was arrested in Caracas in August. At the time, U.S. authorities said he was a sailor who had traveled to Venezuela. Cabello said that in addition to the Americans, two Spanish citizens and one Czech citizen were arrested. Venezuelan authorities have also seized 400 U.S. rifles they say were linked to the alleged plot. This has potential to continue to grow, this story, but we do know that Venezuela has arrested three American citizens and saying it was a plot to kill Maduro.
This guy, former Navy SEAL? It doesn't say former, and to me, if you're a Navy SEAL, you're busy with stuff. You're accountable. You've got to be somewhere. Mm-hmm. Can't be running off to Venezuela on your own and not be a former Navy SEAL.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll hear how much more of this story we'll hear. Jeff Poor's show on the way next.